ought always to pray. You know, there's a benefit to prayer. You know, it's good for us, but don't you know it also helps others?
Yes.
Me praying helps others? I think about something recently, something I had to, an event I went to for work. And, it, you know, it's just a work event. But you know what I did? I said, Lord, I ask that you would just bless. And just cause everything to work out and cause everything to go well. It was something that it wasn't just my job. There was a bunch of different companies there. And the Lord blessed. You know, because of that, I mean, it had nothing to do with me, but just saying a prayer. Men ought always to pray, right? And just because of that, others benefited from it. I want my first response to be, Lord, would you work this situation out? Several Sundays ago, we were talking about needless pains, right? You know, I can bring needless pains on myself by not doing that. I can be worried and concerned about things that I don't even have to be worried and concerned about if I would just pray. It says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Faint, to lose heart, or to give up, or to think, you know, this is too much. I've been praying and it seems like nothing is happening. I'ma just quit. No. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I'm reminded of something that we've it was a message that we heard some time ago. It had something to do with our default position. Y'all remember that one? But see, that's what our default position should be. Whatever it is, I'm going to speak a word of prayer.
Yes.
You know what happens? It's something that, first of all, it's our duty to do. And you know what? If it's something that we neglect, we're going to find ourselves in situations that we don't want to be in.
Right.
And it's something that by the help and grace of God that we should do all the time. And it's something that we should never be weary of doing.
Yes.
The writer says not faint or not grow weary or to give up. And take note here. It says this is a parable. Said he spoke a parable. The purpose of a parable is to teach something. And we're going to get into this a little bit. But so I want us by the help and grace of God this morning to learn something. Right? There's think about all the teachers that are in the world. You know, for a teacher to feel like that they've done their job, it's when their students learn something, right? So you could have a teacher that does everything possible, but there might be a student that just refuses to learn. You know, that's on them, right? So Jesus here, he's trying to get different ones to understand. I want you to get a hold of something here. So maybe we've heard this time and time again, but maybe there's something new for us to grasp this morning.
Yes.
Before we get into that, I'd like to look at a couple other verses. First Chronicles, the 16th chapter and the 11th verse.
Seek the Lord and his strength.
Seek the Lord and his strength.
Seek his face
continually. Seek the Lord and his strength. This is where our strength comes from anyway.
Yeah.
Right? It comes from him. So the encouragement here is to seek it and to seek it every now and then.
No.
It says continually. Continually. Again, we talked about us not doing that. We're giving away opportunities for God to inspire and increase our faith.
Yes.
Remember when David was a young man? He was out in the fields, wasn't he? And he encountered some things while he was there. He encountered a lion, didn't he? He encountered a bear. But you know, in each of those times, what was his response? He called on the Lord, didn't he? And you know, those opportunities, God used them as a stepping stone for him, didn't he? Right? Because of those experiences that he had, God had something later down in his life that he was prepared for. Because of in the other times and those other experiences that he had in his life, he prayed. He prayed. And then when it came to Goliath, he didn't even think about it. There was nothing to ponder or wonder. No, he didn't even wait. It didn't matter, did it? He knew God blessed here. He blessed there. It doesn't matter what the situation is. God isn't the same. He's the same now as he was then. So he can do and work in this situation just as well. That's why we ought always to pray. Doesn't matter how dire a situation is, even if it looks like there's no hope at all, and we can look and say, I have no idea how this is going to work out. Or maybe there's a trepidation, a concern. You know, sometimes uncertainty can bring us fear. But we don't have to have that. You know what we can do when we do this? We leave it in God's hands. Because you know what? No matter what happens, he gonna care for me anyways, right? So I need not be concerned that I can just leave it up to him. He's gonna work everything out for my good and for his glory. You know, he has some pretty capable hands. He's got some big hands. And there's nothing that we can bring to him that's going to overwhelm him. There's no request that we can say when we go to prayer where God's going to say, oh, that one's too difficult. No, no. His encouragement to us is just pray. Pray, pray, pray. There's a couple of verses in the Old Testament. And there are two completely different circumstances, two completely different situations. But the words that were spoken, or the words that were inspired, are exactly the same. One is found in the 18th chapter of Genesis and the 14th verse. This one is maybe one that you're more familiar with. This is the account of Sarah when the angel appeared to her and told her that she was going to have a son. What's Genesis 18 and 14 say?
Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
At the time appointed,
I will return unto thee. According to the time of life, Sarah shall have a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? This may have been the account with Abraham. I may have gotten those mixed up. But the point being, the question was, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now we're going to fast forward a little bit further to Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, and verses 26 and 27. Tell me if this sounds familiar.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying,
Behold,
I am the Lord,
the God of all flesh.
Is there anything too hard for me? Now, in this account, if you read through Jeremiah, there was a point in time where God let the prophet Jeremiah know that the land that the Israelites held was going to be overtaken. And that there was going to be some that come in and they were going to take it over. And God was letting him know that there would be a point in time when they would be able to get it back. And in his mind, he was just struggling with that. And Lord brought those thoughts. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Completely different circumstances, but there's a common denominator, see? The Lord. See? He's the common denominator is Almighty God. Doesn't matter, everything else could change as long as God is in the picture. Amen. That's why men ought always to pray.
Amen.
As we pick up back in the 18th chapter of Luke, again, I want us to grasp hold of the truths that we can find in this parable. And just as we go through this, to really understand what God was trying, or Jesus, as he was speaking to these different ones, what he was trying to get over to them. He's making a point here. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's pick up at Luke, the 18th chapter, and the 2nd verse.
Saying,
There was in a city a judge
which feared not God, neither regardeth man.
Let's go ahead. We're going to read through verse 8, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about these.
And there was a widow
in that city.
She came unto him, saying,
Avenge me
of
mine adversary.
And he would not
for a while.
But afterwards he said within himself,
Though I fear not God,
nor regard man,
yet because this widow troubleth me,
I will avenge her.
Lest by her continual coming, she weary me.
And the Lord said,
Hear what the unjust judge saith.
And shall not God avenge
his own elect,
which cry day and night
unto him,
though he bear long with them?
I tell you
that he will avenge them speedily.
Nevertheless,
when the Son of Man cometh,
shall he find faith on the earth?
Yeah.
Think about how this parable starts here. Jesus said there was in a city, a judge, you know, so somewhere in a city, this judge was placed over all the city. So when there was things that needed to be, they had to make judgments on different things, they would go to this individual. And it says, it gives us a few characteristics of this judge. And I could imagine that if you ever had to go before a judge, this is not the guy that you would have had to go before. Based on what we know about him here. It says he was a judge. which feared not God, neither regarded man. That's some kind of individual, isn't it? I have no fear whatsoever of Almighty God. This is his characteristics. The one that created mankind, he had no fear of him whatsoever. And on top of that, he could care less about his fellow man. This sounds like an awful dude. I mean, again, it's not somebody that we would want to have to go before to make some kind of decision on some whatever act or something that took place. No fear of God and no regard whatsoever for mankind. You know, he was all about himself. That's what it sounded like. His only concern was himself. I mean, if I was sitting there listening to this parable as Jesus was speaking, that would have gotten my attention. Wait a minute. This isn't starting out too well. Where is this going? This is somebody that cares less about mankind and doesn't fear God. All right, you got my attention, Jesus. Where are we going with this? And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. When you think about a widow, that just automatically brings compassion. I mean, it should, right? If you say somebody, you meet somebody and they say, I'm a widow, you automatically have a compassion for them because they've gone through a difficult situation in their life. They once had a husband that's no longer here. How are you doing? Are you okay? Is there something I can do for you? Right? There's a care and a concern that would be had. Who would not accept if a widow came to you and said, you know, maybe it's some task they need you to do. Can you come over? I got a door that's not hanging right. Can you come over and fix it? How could you say no? Even if you didn't know how to do it, I'm going to find somebody who can so we can come over and take care of this for you. There you would. It would be a cruel person that would say to a widow, I can't help you. No doubt I could imagine there was a little bit of begging. Maybe some tears. That would even pull more at your heartstrings, wouldn't it? I'm so sorry for your predicament that you're in. There's somebody that's taking advantage of you. This woman had an adversary that was bothering her, and she just wanted, can you just take care of it? How could you say no to that? So someone in a desperate situation, and you know this judge, no fear of God, no care for mankind, said, I can't help you. Somebody taking advantage of a widow woman, and he's saying, I can't do nothing for you, sorry. It don't have nothing to do with me, so I'm not concerned about it. That was the response. Some words come to mind. Cold. Just so harsh. Doesn't it sound? It seems so harsh, doesn't it? How could you do that? Oh, but there's something key in this verse. It said, for a while. Right. For a while. You know what that tells me? You know how it said he didn't fear God? Somehow God got a hold of his heart. What else changed? What else could have changed? God somehow got over to some compassion within this judge. And I don't know whether it was just, maybe even if it was just for the simple fact that he was tired of her coming. Those of us that are parents, and those that have children, maybe you had a child one time that wanted something from you so bad, and they just kept on coming and coming, and you told them no, I don't know how many times, and then after a while, you just, you know what, go ahead. You just want them to leave you alone, so you just, you go ahead, whatever you want, go ahead and do. But even if that was the situation, even if this judge just wanted her to leave him alone, that's some compassion there, right? Something. So God changed something in that situation. God revealed himself to him. Though, says, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself. He didn't even verbalize this. It's just kind of like a conversation that was going on in his mind. I don't feel God, and I don't have a regard for mankind. Yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Just so I can just rid myself of her, I'm going to take care of whoever's bothering her. I'm going to take care of it. One writer made an analogy in this situation, made reference to how boxers just beat up on each other, right? That's the sport of boxing is just you basically beating each other until somebody just says, I've had enough, right? That's the analogy that the writer gave here in this situation. He just got so tired of her coming that he said, all right, this is enough here. What's going on? What's the problem? Who's this person that's bothering you? I'm going to take care of it. And then the Lord said, Jesus, as he's relaying this parable, he said, did you hear what the unjust judge saith? Are you paying attention? There's one thing we say, I heard it, right? But an understanding of it, that's a whole different story, isn't it?
Yes.
I got a grasp of it. What can I learn from this? If such a person with such infamous character as this judge could yield to the pressing and continual solicitations of a poor widow for whom he felt nothing but contempt, how much more ready must God be?
Amen.
Who is infinitely good,
yes,
and merciful.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You know the greatest concern that God has for his creation and the most important prayer that God wants to hear from mankind is the prayer of forgiveness. That's his greatest concern. But you know, he's so loving and kind. After we do that, he has more in store for us. And he wants us to pray more. You know, that's the most, until someone gets saved, that's the most important prayer that can be prayed, is a prayer of salvation. But aren't you glad that it didn't end there?
Yes.
He's right here with us as we go through this life, every step of the way, and we can continue to call on him. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Pray constantly. If I pray in the daytime, in the morning, in the afternoon, that song says, talking about praying in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. God, he answers prayer in the morning. He answers prayer at noon. He answers prayer in the evening. He answers prayer when we pray. But we have to pray. So the encouragement here is for us to be men, to be women, to be children of prayer. Men ought always to pray, knowing that God will hear and answer. It's up to us not to faint.
Yes.
Maybe it seems like, Lord, I've been coming to you for a long time. I've been praying about this for a long time. How long is it going to take? Doesn't matter. It says, men ought always to pray and not faint. So that tells me I pray as long as I need to until God changes the situation.
Yes.
Because if I faint, if I give up, if I think, all right, I prayed so long and so hard, I've come to my end. What if you just had to pray one more prayer? You were that close and you fainted. That's why we got to keep praying.
Amen.
God has his time and he has his way. His encouragement to each and every one of us is to keep on praying and don't give up. I tell you, it says in this 8th verse, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That word speedily, there's different definitions for speedily. Suddenly or unexpectedly, or at a time when we're nearly ready to give over or sink into despair. Just hold on a little while longer.
Yes.
Just hold on a little while longer. God is going to hear and he's going to answer prayer.
Amen.
One writer mentioned it as it relates to that verse. It talked about a prophetic perspective. Speedily, when you think about eternity, right? There's a different perspective now. Isn't there a verse in scripture that talks about a day with the Lord as is a thousand years? So in our minds, and you know, a lot of times when God takes our focus off of the time, we don't even, you know, when you go back, when God has blessed maybe in a situation that you had to endure for some time, once you get through that situation, do you think about how long it was? Or do you think about, I continued to pray and God came to my rescue? I didn't faint. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. The encouragement this morning as we go through this life, no matter what it is, pray first, pray second, and pray continually. You know, the wonderful thing is that we already are in the habit of doing that anyways. When there comes something our way that is more difficult maybe than just the general cares of life, we've already established a pattern for ourselves. And we can know this is not any different for God. And we can do like that verse of scripture that says in Hebrews, the 14th chapter and the 16th verse, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. That's not to say that the enemy's not going to come and attack us and bring doubts, bring fears, but we just have to not faint. There's a song, it's called Pray the Clouds Away. See, fears and doubts and unbelief, those are clouds. But you can pray those things away. The chorus of this song says, pray the clouds away, the dreary clouds, so dark and gray. Pray unto the Lord, believe the promise of his word. We went through a whole series on the promises, didn't we? We can stand on each and every one of them. But part of us standing on those promises, we can pray. When we pray, we can claim the promises that God has given us in his word. Lord, you said this, and I know that your word is true. The song says, clouds, they're like the snow. But what happens to snow when the sun comes shining out? Doesn't last very long, does it? I remember us, when we lived in Albuquerque, there would be times where it would snow in the morning, but in that region, the sun is out all the time. So there'd be a lot of times where it could snow in the morning, and by the afternoon, the sun would come out and the snow would be gone. Clouds are like the snow. When shines the sun, quickly they must go. Pray until you pray, and you will pray the clouds away. Yes. Pray until you pray. That means it doesn't matter how long. It doesn't matter how many times. If God Almighty, the brother talked about the love, he sung about how much love he has for us. We heard about the unjust judge, right? Yes. This unjust judge got tired of this widow woman coming to him. And he said, you know what? I'm going to avenge you. How much more the great God of heaven that loves us with an everlasting love, when we continually bombard the throne of God with our petition, what is he going to do? Pray. Be encouraged, saints. It's my desire. You know, all of us, as we go through this life, we're going to go through some difficulty. And there we're going to, each of us, maybe, it might be different for all of us, but we're going to have to go through something in this life where it's going to take more than one or two prayers. We're going to have to pray and pray, and we're going to have to fight against the enemy of our soul to not faint. But the encouragement this morning is, if we're already in the habit of it, from just the daily life that we go through, and that our first thoughts, no matter what it is, Lord, I need your help here. Lord, would you give me some wisdom? Would you give me some understanding? Lord, would you bless this situation? Whatever it is, that my first response, my first action, Lord, I need you. Would you come and would you hear and would you answer prayer? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I desire your prayers this morning. Again, it's my desire that that would be, as I made reference to, my default position. Yes. My first thought, Lord, would you come to my rescue? I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. Yes.